to make a long story short, I am an artist.
This is Rick Goldschmidt. He's telling me a story. A long one, but he's making it short. It's about how, as an artist, a trained artist at that,
my degree's in illustration,
he's developed an appreciation for certain artists and their styles, especially when it comes to character design. The names Jack Davis and Paul Coker Jr. may not ring a bell, but believe me when I say, you've seen their work. They're two of the founding artists for Mad Magazine, starting back in the early 1950s. Their work is also ubiquitous in comic books, advertisements, book jackets, greeting cards, and posters from that era. Davis and Coker passed away in 2016 and 2022, respectively, but their work has left a lasting imprint on American culture and Christmas. Because in addition to Mad Magazine and all the rest, Davis and Coker were the designers behind those iconic animated Christmas specials from the 1960s and 70s. You know the ones, the stop-motion animated specials like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and the traditional animated specials like Frosty the Snowman. There were also some not-so-iconic ones, but we'll get to those later. Those specials were all the product of Rankin-Bass Animated Entertainment, founded by Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass. But getting back to Rick Goldschmidt, as an admirer of Davis and Coker, he reached out to them.
I asked them whatever happened to Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass, and they were still doing work for him.
This was several years ago, long after the heyday of those iconic specials. But, like he said, Coker and Davis were still working with Rankin and Bass, and that gave Rick an idea. So he asked for Arthur Rankin's phone number.
They gave me the number to Arthur Rankin, and I called him up, and I said there should be a book. And he said, send me two chapters. So I did. He liked them.
And that is the story about how Rick Goldschmidt became the official historian and biographer for Rankin-Bass Productions, authoring six books about the team of creators that would enchant generations of children and make lasting contributions to Christmas entertainment. How did Rankin and Bass, an art director and a TV commercial jingle writer, go on to create some of the most enduring interpretations of Christmas stories and characters and create a distinctive visual style that still captivates and inspires today? It's a story of creativity, entrepreneurial spirit, strategic partnerships, and big-time show business. I'm Brian Earle. This is Christmas Past. Let's take it from the top. Who were Rankin and Bass?
Well, Arthur Rankin Jr. and Jules Bass were two basically artists in New York that decided to form a company.
Arthur was the art director for ABC Television in the 1950s, and Jules was working for an ad agency where he wrote jingles. But Arthur got the idea of producing animation after a visit to Japan.
Arthur went over there and saw what they could do and was really impressed with it, their animagic stop motion style, and they decided to pair up and produce animation.
And yes, while stop motion is the general descriptive term used for this kind of animation, the ones produced by these studios trademarked the term animagic to describe this particular style of animation, which involved puppets made of wood and felt. Not to be confused, by the way, with another trademarked term for a special style of stop-motion animation, claymation.
A lot of people confuse it. They call the Rankin Bass animation claymation, which it wasn't.
Rankin and Bass didn't start out with their sights set on Christmas specials.
So they did The New Adventures of Pinocchio as a syndicated series where they did five segments a week so that local kids hosts could show them each day during a week.
And they were doing all of this by putting up their own money, which is expensive and carries a certain amount of risk. So eventually, they decided to look for funding.
They paired up with the General Electric Company and formed an entertainment division called Tomorrow Entertainment. And that's how they produced Rudolph and all of the specials that came after it.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer debuted in 1964 on an NBC show called The General Electric Fantasy Hour. And with that, everything changed for Rankin and Bass.
They hit it big with Rudolph in 1964, so they became the kings of Christmas and the holidays.
And that special not only introduced a new style of Christmas entertainment, but also established a formula for including original music and celebrity voice talent. Burl Ives, in the case of Rudolph, voicing Sam the Snowman. Originally, that part was to be voiced by the same actor who did Yukon Cornelius, until the network pushed back.
You know, the networks wanted a star to basically host the special, so that kind of became a formula that they ran with, and always had a big star telling the story, like Andy Griffith. So it was kind of a formula that they discovered through the network's request.
Now, you might have the same thought I did. Stop motion animation must be a long and arduous process, especially if we're talking about a full-length special. It must have been not only expensive, but also difficult to convince a network to invest in something like that, especially since they would only be showing it once a year.
Luckily, Arthur found super talented people in Japan that could do it and keep it within a budget. Supposedly, Rudolph was about $500,000 to make.
And that efficiency and the popularity of the programs set off a decades-long run of demand for their talents. All three of the big networks have aired Rankin-Bass specials. Sometimes they were even working for two networks at the same time, hiring different studios in Japan to do different jobs.
So when the stop-motion studio was working on, say, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, they got Mushi to do the cell animation for Frosty at the same time. And they could keep studios busy on different specials at the same time.
Of course, Frosty the Snowman, along with Twas the Night Before Christmas and others, were not in the Animagic style. Rather, they were traditional two-dimensional animation on painted cells. It was an idea inspired by Paul Coker's experience as a greeting card designer.
That kind of gave Arthur Rankin the idea that we could do cell animation and make it look like a Christmas card.
So all of this demand for Rankin-Bass productions over the years had produced a string of hit specials that we still watch today. But then again, there were several others that more or less came and went. The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, The Cricket on the Hearth, The Story of the First Snow, Rudolph's Shiny New Year, The Little Drummer Boy 2, and others have lived in relative obscurity for the last several decades. Although, that's starting to change.
The other specials have really been having a big comeback the last 10 years on, primarily on the AMC. They run marathons.
Rankin and Bass's reign as the Kings of Christmas would last until 1985 with their last special, The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, leaving a body of work sure to trigger Christmas nostalgia in an older generation and delight new audiences of children every year. And by the way, you might wonder whatever happened to all those puppets used to create the specials.
Well, the animators that worked with the puppets kept them. They kept them in their collections. And Tad Moshinaga, who was the head animator, he had a lot of puppets in his collection that were on display in Japan about 8 years ago or so.
Well, one of the wonderful things about Christmas traditions is that they are portable across space and time. We can watch Rankin-Bass specials decades after their creation, and we can carry on family traditions in new locations. That's something Chris in Australia can attest to as he shares in this Christmas memory.
Hi Brian, I'd like to share a Christmas memory and a new tradition. My family migrated to Australia from Spain, so growing up, like a lot of European families, we celebrated Christmas on Christmas Eve. We ate paella and tortilla, and I would play Spanish cards with my uncles all through the night. As a result, for me, Spanish food and culture is always inextricably linked with Christmas. That was a while ago now, which brings me to a new tradition. In recent years, my wonderful wife has taken it upon herself to recreate or pay homage to this nostalgia. Every year on Christmas Eve, she makes a beautiful Spanish meal. She doesn't believe me, but she makes the best paella I've ever had. The flavors transport me back to my childhood, and I'm filled with rosy Christmas memories. I feel so lucky to be able to celebrate my Christmas past each year while also creating new memories, and I just wanted to share that. Feliz Navidad to you and the Christmas past audience. Thanks.
It never occurred to me to have paella for Christmas, but there is always a first time. Speaking of which, maybe this season is the first time you'll share a Christmas memory with the rest of the Christmas Past family. All you have to do is record yourself speaking into your phone's voice memo app and send it to christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com. Keep it reasonably short, clean, and family-friendly, and be sure to say your name and where you're from. Christmas Past is produced in wonderful Willow Glen, California, by yours truly, Brian Earle. Thanks so much to Rick Goldschmidt. Check the show notes to this episode for more information about his books, including his latest about the 50th anniversary of A Year Without a Santa Claus and The Night Before Christmas. Thanks also to Chris in Australia, and as always, thank you for listening and for being here this season as part of the Christmas Past family. You can drop me a line anytime at christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com or connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do join our private Christmas Past Facebook group if you haven't yet. And hey, if you're really feeling the Christmas spirit, why not help more people discover the show? It's as easy as telling a friend about it or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. If you do leave a review, I'll send you a Christmas Past sticker, and a handwritten Christmas card is my way of saying thanks. Reach out for details. And until we meet again, may your days be merry and bright.